We got a coffee break, we're re-energized, and we're ready for more freedom. We're gonna jump right into it with what is the hot topic, cryptocurrency. Crypto entrepreneurship, what's next for this disruptive technology? And I'm gonna bring out the moderator for this panel discussion. He is the author of The Social Singularity, a Decentralist Manifesto. His latest book is After Collapse, The End of America and the Rebirth of Her Ideas. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Max Borders.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Welcome. I see we have some crypto crazies here. That's good to see. I'm the moderator, so I shouldn't reveal so many of my biases, but there you go. Too late. Thank you all for coming out to this. We only have 30 minutes today, so we're going to do quick and dirty. We're going to introduce these guys quickly, just by name. If you want to know who they are, their pedigree, their work, so on, encourage you to look at the schedule, go deeper and find out their names. But first, I want to introduce, all the way from the right, we have Raphael Laberd, we have George Gilder, we have Rob McNeely, and we have Ace Fogerson immediately to my right. Give them all a big round of applause. Okay, so what we're trying to do in general with this is to talk about the environment in which entrepreneurs and innovators are functioning with respect to cryptocurrency distributed ledger space in general. There's so many different applications and domains in the cryptocurrency space, so I'm sure we'll be talking about a lot of these. We're going to try to keep our answers very quick. We only have 30 minutes with you guys, which means we want to try to do a lot with a little. So let's get started. The first thing I wanted to talk about is the elephant in the entrepreneurial room when it comes to this industry. And that is the looming or shark circling of the regulatory state. Would anybody want to jump in first? What type of regulation is likely to come online? That is, what regulations can make life really difficult for innovation, for innovators in this space? Anybody want to take a stab at that?
Right. Well, all of the federal governments and central banks are now contemplating the launch of digital currencies themselves based on some sort of often spurious distributed ledger concept and blockchain. And the Chinese have led the way, and they are addressing the two great hacking crises in the world economy, which one is the hacking of the internet by hustlers and scammers, and the other is the hacking of world money by central banks. And this third hacking that you're introducing here is the hacking of the global economy by government regulators. And certainly Xi Jinping is a threat. But I believe that blockchain is so fundamental a change that even in China, if you actually create blockchain identities, it will be favorable to freedom and individuality. So I actually welcome these government efforts to launch blockchain-based currencies and internet platforms. They will be imperfect, they will be problematical, but they are part of an inexorable movement that will transform the global economy over the next 5 years.
Now, George Gilder just pointed out something that, to me, is interesting, is all of these hacks that he talked about seem to be like they could be interesting overlaps between these hacks in terms of collusion between the regulatory agencies on the one hand, the incumbent industries on the other, for example, the banks, and particularly the central bank. There's becoming this firewall between the central banks and politicians seems to be just completely gone away now. They're of a kind now. Raphael, you were going to talk about this. Your your idea about prospects for this industry in the face of this overwhelming power that George Gilder just talked about? What do you think?
Okay, so let's be honest here, guys. I come from the anarcho-capitalist world. I run the biggest crypto-anarchist newsletter on the planet, and we don't have Lex Cryptographia yet. That is competing cryptographic law that is akin to old mercantile law. We don't have that yet. We have a free market, quote unquote, of legal jurisdictions throughout the world that at this moment allow us to choose amongst them for, you know, to entrepreneur in. So what we need to focus now as entrepreneurs in crypto is to focus on success. What is it that is successful, most successful to us? And what we need to do is that we need to take the world as the world is, and we need to be successful with the world as it is. And we have to compete and use the legal jurisdictions that are most favorable to us. So, yes, government law in itself is a technology, but we don't have the mercantile cryptographic law that we will want to have. A lot of anarchists would want that to exist right now, but unfortunately at the present moment, it does not exist. And so in the assurance of contracts, the best place to do it right now is government law. So definitely, I think that's something to keep in mind. But what I really want to talk about real quick is about Bitcoin. Because what Satoshi gave us was much more than just a coin. Satoshi gave us computational power. Bitcoin in its original form at scale allows us to use its computational power where we can send data packages as financial transactions. This is something that the powers that shouldn't be of innovation kept from the crypto world, and they still to this day keep from the crypto world. They do not want you to know that you can compete with big tech right now. That's actually the big elephant in the room.
Compete with what?
With big tech right
big
now.
Tech.
And I'm talking about Bitcoin in its original design
at scale.
We are
competing with big
yeah,
tech.
Yeah, exactly. I'm speaking specifically of the Honest Chain of Digital Signatures, BSV. Yeah. So I come from the world of anarchy. I represent anarcho-capitalism. And the one thing that Bitcoin in its original design at scale cannot do is give us privacy by default at the protocol level, like Monero and Pirate Chain offer us. We have to keep in mind that Satoshi gave us an honesty machine, which is a meritocracy of value that allows us to entrepreneur. The killer app in Bitcoin is entrepreneurship. And it's something that they don't want you to look at. It's so beautiful in its design that I'm constantly being marveled. I constantly marvel at it. It is you would think that privacy coins are more attacked in crypto, but no. It's entrepreneurship in Bitcoin in its original design at scale, which is most attacked in all of crypto. And that's something to keep in mind. Because so George Gilder, we want to talk more about it. Go for it.
I want to get these two guys in as well. And I'll jump in, Rob or Ace, but in particular, you know, there's this issue for entrepreneurs around various theories of maximalism in among the three instantiations of Bitcoin, or the forks as they're known. You know, some believe that larger blocks and so on are the way to go, and you know, Satoshi Vision is a larger block phenomenon. Raphael's pointing to the idea that you can have all of these cryptographic hashes of certain events to have a chain of provenance, and we're just now seeing entrepreneurship in this way. Others would argue that BCH and BTC also give you this, and I would like to know from you two guys, what do you think in terms of, are you more proponents of an overall entrepreneurial ecosystem where different tokens with different properties compete for dominance, or are you more maximalist inclined? What do you think is the best path for getting us to something as a human community that we can all use?
Well, since we launched our own cryptocurrency, I'm not a maximalist. I like lots of different cryptos for different reasons. So with our Tusk cryptocurrency, and this, you know, kind of dovetails back into the entrepreneurship, and there's some other cryptocurrencies that have these basically worker funds. And what that means is, like with our crypto, anybody can put in a worker proposal to support the community, whether it not just be about programming or development or software engineering, but to do marketing, to boost podcasts, to help grow the community. And they can put these proposals in basically pseudo-anon. The community votes on those proposals, and they're automatically funded to their wallets on the blockchain. It's all done through a voting mechanism. So I think.
What's the name of this?
Tusk.
T-U-S-C. Oh,
T-U-S-C,
all right.
And so, but so this is interesting. So even though a lot of, there's other blockchains that have similar programs, but we're launching, I'm going to announce it today, we're going to be doing all the details next month, but we're launching a nationwide shooting competition team that's actually funded by cryptocurrency. And because we're focused on solving the payments problem in the firearms industry. That's our crypto is very focused on a very niche industry.
Yeah.
But it's decentralized. We're non-ICO. We never sold tokens or cryptos. Everybody in it is a gun person that wanted to solve this problem. So, but I see going forward that more decentralized crypto projects will have these DAOs. And I look at it almost like blockchain-based gig economy. So let's just say you want to go work on one crypto that you really enjoy. You can put in a worker proposal, go work on that for 2 weeks a month. Then you go work on another crypto project, and you can go put in a proposal, a worker proposal, get funded for that for a couple weeks. And I think that is going to be easily done globally. It scales. And I believe that there will be a blockchain crypto gig economy coming out of different crypto projects that do different things.
Now, this is really interesting. And Ace, I don't know if you want to talk to this, but what he just mentioned, and I want to just slow it down for everybody. Who doesn't know what a DAO is? D-A-O. Okay. No problem. We'll just really quickly explain. A DAO is a distributed autonomous organization. What this technology is enabling not only is different ways that you can pay for things, it's also behind these tokens and behind these systems are alternatives to the traditional hierarchical firm. So you have people who are collaborating in real time around the planet on a certain technology, basically, and being invited to participate in the creation or in the expansion of these technologies through processes that are being developed called these DAOs, Distributed Autonomous Organization. It means that we can collaborate at scale asynchronously for the benefit of an entire project. This is really challenging an entire order based on hierarchical firms or based on hierarchical governments for that matter, because now we get this idea of alternative forms of governance that are much more like what the founders would imagine for people self-governing.
And so this is really what Ethereum envisaged from the beginning. Vitalik Buterin with Ethereum, a new platform for these digital autonomous organizations,
right,
or smart corporations. Or
that's right. Yeah. That's right. And they. So what do you think about the potential for DAOs, Ace, and all of this, and alternative governance in particular for the planet, for humanity?
I completely agree that decentralization is what we need. That is the future of our society. I think our grandchildren will look back on this part of our century and say the information age ended and the age of decentralization began. That is going to not only affect how we do business, how we do DeFi, it's going to affect hopefully how we live and how we interact with all the legacy institutions that have acted as intermediaries, gatekeepers, and keeping people back and restricting progress. I'm fortunate with the earlier discussion is I work in a post-blockchain project. So
you
have an alternative. Post-blockchain. So Cloudcoin is based on a RADA technology. It operates a lot differently than a blockchain, and it accomplishes the same things. And I know we're a little rushed on time, but if people want to...
What's it called?
RADA, the Redundant Array of Independent Detection Agents.
Radar what?
R-A-I-D-A.
Okay, R-A-I-D-A.
Yeah.
We've got these acronyms here, and
we've
got
to
clarify what they
mean in RADA system.
I just invite everyone at 2:10 today. There'll be a breakout session. We'll be talking all about it, and you can get $1,000 worth of Cloudcoin if you come.
Yeah. Okay, so
real quick. The history of cryptocurrency has been one where every time that there is a new coin in the market, entrepreneurs have failed to realize, unfortunately, that they're entering into a Highlander competition. When you start a new network, you're not just proposing a new technology into the market, but you're also proposing the gathering of a new network of investors that are investing in one another. And you're competing directly with more established and refined networks of investors. As we've seen in the example of Ethereum, your success is suicide. And as entrepreneurs, we have
your
to think
success
is suicide.
Why is that?
Because the more you use the bandwidth, the more successful you are on the Ethereum network, the more you eat up the bandwidth and you end up having a problem like CryptoKitties. There is not an inherent economy of scale as we see in Bitcoin's original design at scale, in BSV.
So you don't think the new form of Ethereum will succeed in addressing these challenges? I mean, Buterin is completely agrees with you that there was a crisis and he's devoted himself for the last 2 or 3 years to overcome it. Do you see any signs that he can overcome it?
I don't see it. Economically, it doesn't make sense to me. The game theory doesn't make sense. Bitcoin, you need data to be protected, big data to be protected by proof of work. And proof of work, what it allows you, you hold the actual hard metal and you automatically have a feedback loop into the market so that you as the owner of the mining equipment can calibrate directly with the market in real time. Most validators and block producers on the planet that do proof of stake, they don't even run their own hard metal. What they do is that they rent out servers elsewhere, put their coin up at stake, and so they don't have that economic incentive to be on top of their machines. Whereas Bitcoin in its original design at scale,
that is true.
There's an automatic incentive structure built within it, and there's also an economy of scale where the more you use the blockchain, the Bitcoin original blockchain at scale, the cheaper transactions are.
Okay, so I want to just I want to pull us back from trying to unpack different properties of different tokens, the relative security and all that of different things. First layer solutions, second layer. These are all issues in this industry that we would want to encourage you guys to investigate for yourselves. Would you not all agree?
100%.
But one of the things that, in stepping back from that, is to really communicate the idea that when you have a thriving competitive ecosystem like this, not only are you finding properties that are important to you, namely those programmable incentives, those internal mechanisms for resolving consensus, there's all of these other features of these tokens. What's important, I think these guys will agree, is that the highly competitive environment for these, and what Raphael was referring to, is the network effects around these, will determine in great measure which of these systems thrive and which of these systems fail. And they're all going to be based on the particular user's understanding of those properties and whether those properties comport with their needs at the time. So we may see a lot of these technologies thriving simultaneously, and it may be that there's something that disrupts one or the other and the network transfers. The network effect is lost. But we'll see. That's what's so beautiful about this space. Now, in competing with each other, I believe they're going to be stronger systems, stronger tokens, and stronger in general, in industry in general. But let's go back for a moment about competing with entrenched and incumbent industries like big tech. What do you think is the best path to unseating the Googles, the Amazons, the YouTubes, and so on, Facebooks of the world? What do you think is the best path for this? What do you do right now to try to unseat these big guys?
I think you need to understand Bitcoin's original design, 100%. If you don't understand Bitcoin's original design and what it means, then I'm sorry, you have to go back and look at the white paper and really understand it, because they sold us the lie of just focusing on the coin aspect of Bitcoin, but there is the bit aspect of Bitcoin that they don't want people to focus on, and that's its computational power, where you can embrace the miners as the back end of your business. You don't need VC money.
Rob, what do you think?
Oh, that's a loaded question. I look at it like this. I'm definitely open to solve. I'm a very simple guy. I'm a fundamental guy. I like to solve problems. So I come at it from the entrepreneurial perspective, is what problem are you solving? If you're only solving an investment problem, which is a problem that should be solved, it'd be nice that more people could invest and save and and invest in sound things. That's one thing. What our project does, we're focused on solving a very prescient problem in the firearms industry, which is the payment issue. Firearms companies are barred from any third-party payment option. When they can get credit card services, they have to pay up to 7% transaction fees with credit cards. We're focused on solving that problem, and I think ultimately.
But if you were, let's just assume that you weren't. If you were a competitor to Google, say,
right?
How would you set about going about tackling a Google?
So, like right now, Odyssey is a great platform. It's a crypto token-based video sharing site. I think they are solving that. In fact, I saw a post from Odyssey today. They just crossed 1 million channels on there. So Google is doing what a lot of big companies do in their later life cycles. They're cutting their own throats.
Okay? They're what?
They're cutting their own throats. And how they're doing it is by forcing people, by demonetizing people that are not politically correct, and by forcing people off their services. They're driving people to decentralized platforms.
Yeah.
And so I think big tech in some ways is creating its own worst enemies.
It's almost like a Streisand effect for entrepreneurs.
Correct.
So what your response to this?
I mean,
how would you tackle the big tech giants in their specific industries?
We're doing two things right now directly to empower individual people to combat not only big tech, but big government and hackers and anyone that's out to slow down what they'd like to do with their own individual innovation desires. The first one is called Rata Mail, and it does a lot more than mail. It's an entire communications platform that allows people to communicate freely, allows them to send files back and forth, voice chat, video chat, and they can send files a lot, like 40 times bigger than what you can detach on any other platform, because it's doing it in parallel across several clouds, hidden around the world. No one government could ever shut it down. No big tech company could ever deplatform the users of this. So that's the one big thing we're doing. The other one that I'm really excited about is called Tiny NFT. It's allowing artists and content creators to create NFTs, which is kind of been a big thing in the last 6 months, but it does it for a tiny fraction of the cost. It gets rid of the middlemen. There's no gallery owners, record companies, movie studios. They're going to take away from the creators. It's going to let them own more of their own creative content and output. And it's the other big advantage is it doesn't have nearly the eco harm of
any kind of work blockchain. I want to get back to the NFTs in just a moment, but I want to get George Gilder in here on this question. What's the best way to slay the giants through an army of David entrepreneurs?
The only way you could compete is to create a better system. And the world system is in crisis. The internet is in crisis. Every year we spend 20% more on internet security, and every year we get 50% more hacks and more break-ins and more collapse. The internet doesn't work in its current form. World money doesn't work in its current form. World money is based on currency trading at a rate of close to $7 trillion a day. This is 75 times more than all trade in goods and services, just to keep the money functioning. These are two broken systems. Unfortunately, Bitcoin too is in a form a broken system.
Bitcoin BTC.
It's based on liquidity from a Tether, so-called stable coin that's turning out to be a fable coin and is being attacked by regulators around the world. There's going to be a Bitcoin crisis in the next few weeks, maybe days. Surrounding Tether coins. So we have a time of change, and there's going to be a new economy emerging from it, and it is going to be increasingly based on these entrepreneurs around the world in the cryptocurrency that's where we're at. There is a new economy being born.
Yeah. The thing about
these guys are doing it, but But Google does its thing. Google, we all use it every day. It's the existing system, and they're going to have to address this crisis along with everybody else.
There's going to be a reckoning. The whole Bretton Woods system that we all swim in right now, with the dollar as the world's reserve currency, is the very thing that's at issue. I just want to reemphasize what the speakers are saying right now, just how monumentous this will be. If the regulators, and in collusion with central banks, are able to stifle this industry and set it back 10 years, they may be able to maintain their domination. But what these guys are saying, if there is such an amazing ecosystem of new tokens, new technologies, new systems being unleashed, that there is tremendous promise for a massive transformation in how we relate to each other, both in transactional terms and in cooperative terms. Now I want to turn quickly to, and then I want to go to NFTs.
Awesome. Okay. I just have a quick thing to say. Satoshi, guys, gave us a path forward in beating big tech, okay? And this is how it is. Big tech, there's one thing that big tech cannot do, and it is to safeguard big data via proof of work, via a Byzantine fault-tolerant network. We have the path laid before us in the Bitcoin white paper with Bitcoin's computational power at scale. Big data will be protected by proof of work, and we will outcompete big tech. We will, guys. But we have to realize what Satoshi really gave us. And we have to entrepreneur using Bitcoin's original design at scale. And if we don't do that, then there is no path forward for us. Because then we're going to be creating a coupon economy where you have, imagine a coin for Target and a coin for Walmart.
Make it quick.
So we cannot have a coupon economy. In Bitcoin's original design at scale, entrepreneurs leverage off the success of one another. That's exactly what Satoshi gave us. Entrepreneurship is the killer app of Bitcoin.
Great. How many of you guys in the audience do not know what an NFT is? Raise your hand. Nice, and don't be embarrassed. This is what this is about. Okay, great. Got plenty of people. An NFT is a funny acronym for non-fungible token. And what these do is allow a system that allows you at a certain point to take some sort of digital product or even a real world product, devote a cryptographic hash associated with that particular thing or that particular item that gives it a uniqueness. It signifies its uniqueness, or at the very least that it's the first of something. It allows you to establish a chain of provenance. Now, there's some debate about the usefulness of NFTs in certain ways, but I would like to get these guys to talk about what they think the promise of NFTs is or not.
Well, my company, OTOY, launched the first big OTOY. I helped fund it and found it, but Jules Urbach is the head of it, and he designed the non-fungible token that Beeple used to sell all his three-dimensional art. And Beeple is on the board of OTOY, and he sold his art through a non-fungible token, a digital property right, through a Christie's auction for $69 million. You all saw it. It was all over the place. That happened to be launched through OTOY, which is a company I started 20 years ago with Jules and Ari Emanuel, and it's going to be coming public sometime.
I want to squeeze everybody else. I want to squeeze everybody else in here, George. What about you, Ace? What do you think? Well, promise of non-fungible tokens. What do you think? Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Definitely thumbs up. TinyNFT.io. Check it out if you have some time. No, we're taking a digital token and actually putting the artwork in the token. There's no separate hash. It's all self-contained, more secure, can't be hacked, more eco-friendly.
Rob.
So with NFTs? Tusk, our first hard fork is scheduled for October. That'll allow for NFT and asset creation on our blockchain. One of our focuses is actually creating a safe place to store 3D printed gun files.
Nice.
Excellent. Raphael, you have the last word on NFTs.
Go to the specialist, the person in the planet who has who led this whole revolution in NFTs, is Adam Levine of Let's Talk Bitcoin. Shout out to him. He's already figured everything out that people are just now starting to realize, all the hurdles that they're starting to deal with. So I'd recommend you guys look into that.
Okay, I just want to thank, by the way, you can go on if we're doing this, hawking our own stuff, you can go on Canonic XYZ, which is a book publishing company built on the Bitcoin SV blockchain. I am not a maximalist on any Bitcoin token or other token, but I am, you can find my book After Collapse or The Social Singularity on Canonic XYZ. I hope you'll pick it up in that format, because just wouldn't that be sweet? Yeah. And I just want to
life after Google, folks.
Yeah, of course, get Life After Google from George Gilder. And I just want to thank these guys for coming out and playing with us today. It was a blast. We need another hour, but
thank you.
All thank right. you.
Financial slavery is a bitch because it doesn't let you think. That's the whole point. Don't give you time to think. If you want to really learn philosophy, you need leisure. Leisure. Crypto is here to give you the leisure so you can think.